Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, along with our returning guest, Eric Lammers, lead recruiting analyst for Penn State Rivals Network. Eric, we had such a great response to your appearance here last week. We thought it'd be a great idea to have you back on a regular basis. Before we get started, just to let everyone know, if you want to find out everything from Eric and Richard and all the great content those guys have at Penn State Rivals, just go over to pennstate.rivals.com. Eric, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, it's good to be back. I had a lot of fun last week. It was as much fun for me as hopefully it was for the listeners, so I'm glad to be back and glad to kind of make this a regular spot for us, for sure.
Fantastic. Well, I really enjoyed it, but I was getting response from our listeners. That's the important thing. They really enjoyed the information you provided. This week, what I thought we could talk about is Penn State did really well in the Philadelphia area recruiting in the 22 class. I'd like to get to that but in a second. But real quick before we do, Penn State had a transfer portal come in, Mitchell Tinsley, wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Could you give us a quick scouting report on him?
Yeah. So Penn State, the staff found a little success there in the portal recently with the wide receiver. So they got Mitchell Tinsley to commit to them from Western Kentucky. So he's coming to them from Western Kentucky's offense, which if anybody had a chance to watch them this season or watched them in the bowl game, they knew how to light it up on the field and on offense in particular. Their quarterback threw for nearly 6,000 yards this year and threw for 62 touchdowns. So he broke both. Those are single-season records in the NCAA. And so it's obviously a wide receiver-friendly offense. So Tinsley put up some numbers. You know, he had over 1,400 yards receiving and 14 touchdowns as well himself. So on paper, he obviously looks like a very productive piece and a really good fit. Obviously, it's going to be a step up in competition from Western Kentucky, what they see on the regular basis to going to Penn State. But if you pop on the film, you can see a productive receiver. You can see somebody that's going to have an impact, in my opinion, at Penn State. You know, he has the ability to go over the middle and climb the ladder. He's not afraid to go over the middle. A safety or a corner just diving at his thigh board generally will not take him down. So he has a really nice ability to break tackles. Yards after catch, he produces a lot of those. He has a track background, so he's a long jumper in high school. And so you can kind of see that kind of explosiveness in short areas show up on film. And so I think that he has a chance to be pretty productive. I think another thing that he does really well is he adjusts to the ball naturally in the air, whether it's tracking it over his shoulder and making that adjustment in the air, and or if it's just on a slant, he has to adjust his hands one way or the other, turn them up, turn them down. You know, he doesn't fight the ball. He just naturally changes his hands to wherever they need to be for the ball. So I think when you have somebody like that, when you have a chance to bring him in to Penn State, I think you have to do it. I think he has the potential to be a Sunday player. So anytime you can add that type of receiver to your room or that type of offensive skill to your, that type of skill set to your offense, I think you have to do it. And I think this is a really nice addition for Penn State for sure.
Well, you're right. Anytime you can add a weapon, and especially we know Jahan Dotson will be moving on, so just adding another potential NFL-type player to that room is a great thing. Okay, let's get to these Philly kids who came into the 22 class. Before we get into the individuals, let me just ask you, Eric, in general, how good is Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, for recruiting, and how important is it for Penn State to do well recruiting Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think Philadelphia has a lot of good talent within the city and surrounding areas of the city. I think that a lot of times what you're going to find maybe is a little bit more underdeveloped, needs some more coaching, maybe needs some more strength and conditioning, needs some more nutrition in their diets, things like that. And that's not to say that the coaches in that area and the teachers in that area aren't doing everything they can, you know, for these student athletes. But I think just once you see them get into a program, you really see their bodies develop and you really see a lot of what those resources can do for them. So I think it's a pretty good area for talent. I think that Coach Franklin has identified that as well. I think Coach Franklin, you know, he prides himself on keeping all of Penn State or Pennsylvania talent, you know, within the state and coming to Penn State. But I think he really has put a focus on Philadelphia in general. I think if you look back to this last contact period in December, they had multiple coaches in and around the Philadelphia area for multiple days. So it's not like they just had one coach going in there and hitting a handful of schools. They were in the city, in Philadelphia, in our area for multiple days, multiple coaches, and they're going to continue to try and find the talent like they found this past cycle where they were able to secure, you know, a handful of commits from that area. So I think it's definitely an important one. I think it's got a lot of good talent. I just think it comes down to development, really. I think their athleticism is there for these kids. I think it just comes down to being developed.
Let's get right to the players then. Let's start with Ken Talley. He was from Northeast High School, listed. I got him at 6'2", 243. And I'm always saying, I'm going to be saying listed. He's listed as right. A defensive end because some of these guys seem to be, well, maybe a defensive end, maybe a linebacker. But anyway, let's start with Ken Talley.
Yeah, Ken is very interesting on film because he does a little bit of everything. He stands up and plays linebacker. He plays wildcat quarterback for his high school team. He plays running back for his high school team. And he did a little bit of everything for him, which just kind of goes to show his athleticism. Get the ball in the best player's hands, let him do work, I think was the idea behind the, you know, for the coaching staff there at Northeast and taking advantage of Ken in that way. He's going to be an interesting one to see, you know, how he transforms when he gets to Penn State and where does his body take him exactly. You know, you said it already, 6'2", 243 is what he's listed at. You know, he's right in that ballpark. He's listed on, you know, I think right now, you know, Rivals and other sites probably have him pegged more as a defensive end, right? But that's not really what you see him do on film because, like I said, you see him more stand up and, you know, play that linebacker position. To me, what I think it's going to be interesting to see is what kind of weight development does he have once he gets to Penn State? Does he go, you know, does he settle in around 250, 255, 260, or are they looking to get him all the way up into that 280, 290 range? Can he do it? Because then you're talking about athletic defensive lineman, right? And so he's at that height of 6'1", 6'2", and you kind of put on the pounds, you know, put on the muscle, get him up to 280, 285, and watch him play defensive tackle a little. I think that's potentially where he could go. You know, he is athletic. He is physical, but he doesn't necessarily have the same change of direction that Zane Durant has, who we talked about last week, or even, you know, Keon Wiley, who we'll talk about in a minute here. So I do think maybe down in the trenches might be the better fit for him long term, but it's really going to be about where's his body take him. You know, it's interesting, his highlight for a senior year is one of one. That's what he's titled himself as, and I think that's the truth, because he's really going to, you know, where does he go and what happens to him? He's one of one. You don't see a lot of players like him that carry the football and play stand-up linebacker and all that stuff. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to him.
I like what you said about him. You know, you want to get the ball in the hands of your best player. And I love those guys who are able to you see some kids, they're playing quarterback, and you know that's not going to be their position in college. But you know, they were just the best player, best athlete at the high school level. Let's next go to the other name that you just dropped there, Keon Wiley. He's from Imhotep, listed at 6'3", 210. I saw him listed as a defensive end, but at 210, he could also be a linebacker. We have had on our show a guy who's a high school football, Pennsylvania high school football guru, I'll call him. He thought Keon Wiley was the absolute steal of this class and the most underrated. What do you think of Wiley?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit of a – I mean, I think that's fair. I went back and rewatched him a couple more times, you know, kind of leading into this segment, and I just – more and more I watched him, the more and more I become impressed with what he's putting on tape. And I'll tell you why, because specifically when you're playing that defensive end, that outside linebacker position, and your whole mission is to get after the quarterback, you need to have a quick first step, and he has that. He gets off the ball with intent, and he gets there with a purpose. And you just see that when he flies off the ball. I think the biggest thing for Keon is really that weight, 210. Okay, is he going to be able to get up to 235, 240, 245, and how long is it going to take him? Kind of goes back to what we were talking about with your original question, the development. You know, what kind of nutrition plan has Keon been on for the last couple of years? And then when he gets to Penn State, what kind of nutritional plan are they going to get him on, as long with the strength and conditioning? And he could be a candidate that you could see balloon up pretty quickly just because he's going to have world-class nutrition and world-class strength and conditioning there at Penn State. So I think, you know, when you call him a steal, the more, like I said, the more and more I watch him, the more and more I really become a big fan of his. His highlights, you know, we talk about Ken's highlight tape. His highlight tape is called Sack King, and I think that's fitting as well, because when you look at his first step, his bend, his closing speed, and how athletic he is, I think – He's got a pretty good chance when he fills out that he's going to be one of those next big Penn State, you know, get after the quarterback type players that you're going to, that fans are going to really enjoy watching.
And I imagine that kid who could get after the quarterback, that's a kid who's going to make a lot of money one day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's valued so much. You see Micah Parsons play at that level now. Mm-hmm. That ability to get to the quarterback, that makes you a lot of money. And in college, it changes a game, doesn't it?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And that's what it's all about. The two most important positions on defense, in my opinion, are the guy that's getting after the quarterback and then the guys that are covering on the back end, like playing at corner and whatnot. But if you can get after the quarterback, you can make yourself some money.
Let's get to the last defensive commit from Philadelphia, and that's Abdul Carter. He's from LaSalle High School. He's listed at 6'4", 235, some pretty good size already. I see him listed, I think, by Penn State at linebacker, but again, another one of those guys who's potentially ends up as a defensive end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got that ready-made linebacker body, and I kind of talked about him last week as kind of one of my favorites in this class, because I think, you know, just a little bit unheralded at the linebacker position. But he has that ready-made position. He's a tone setter on defense. He'll knock your block off if you come anywhere close to him, and he can track you down. He can close. You know, the biggest thing I think for him, what you're going to have to see how he adjusts once he gets to Penn State is how's he do in the passing game? How's he do when he has to drop in coverage and play, you know, either zone or man and what they're asking him to do there? I think that's where it's going to be what we're looking for, because he's got the size. He's really just going to have to get stronger and just continue to tone up there in their strength program. He's physical. He can close. I think it's just going to be how is he adjusting to the pass game. But I'm a big fan of his as well.
In talking about these guys, each one potentially could be a defensive end or a linebacker. And we seem to be seeing that more. I mentioned Micah Parsons. Jesse Luceda, currently on the team, moved from linebacker to defensive end. And when they need him back at linebacker, he goes back there. Is that a trend that's happening in college football, that versatility?
I just think the more that you can do, the more things that you can do when you're on the field, the better. And if they can put you down because you have a quick first step and you have a knack for getting after the quarterback, because like you already said, that's a place where you can go make your money. But then if you're athletic enough where they can drop you into coverage and they don't have to keep changing out personnel, they don't have to keep adjusting your personnel every time the offense adjusts their personnel, I think that's what defensive coordinators want to do. So you're going to continue to look for these type of players that bring that type of versatility, because it just makes your life as a defensive coordinator that much easier.
And real quick, in the half minute we have left, when you see these guys, see these players and coaches see them, when it's defensive end / linebacker, what's the main item that could determine which way they end up going?
Yeah, I think it comes down to your quickness, your size, and then just how physical you are. It's determining if you're going to be on the outside and where you're going to end up with that, right? In terms of, are you a strong side? Are you a weak side defensive end? And then, you know, linebacker is a whole other animal in terms of your eyes and your athleticism, what it's going to take there. But I think a lot of times it just comes down to how physical you are and or versus, do you have a quick first step and the ability to bend?
Very good. As it did last week, Eric, it went absolutely way too fast. Fortunately, we'll do it again next week. Can't
awesome.
Wait for that. That is it, though, for this edition of our show. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.